You know, we worship you, and the worship continues as we open up your word. Lord, help us to see glorious things through your word. Teach us how to drive this morning as we go through Proverbs 16. Lord, teach us of you so that we on this highway of life will drive the scenic route with you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Well, you know, the day will come when your parents will take the greatest steps of faith in their lives. And you know what that day will be? Is when they reach into their pocket and hand you the keys to the family car. In your hands, you hold their financial destiny. In your hands, you carry the family name by the way you drive. In your hands lays life and death and a potential lawsuit. The possibility of bringing the family financial chaos. So, we're going to learn about driving. That's why we learned to drive, so you could drive your brother around. Do you ever take him to Sonic? You don't? Now, do you buy him a Frosty or whatever? A shake? They put gas. You just, you know, when I was at work, we used to have this thing, if you fly, I'll buy, you know. And so if you drive, I'll buy you a burger or something. So you buy him a burger, buy him some stuff. He's your hookup. So, well, anyway, in this morning's, we're going to learn how to drive. But before you ever get the keys to the family car, we're going to look at three things before you get the keys to the family car. And the first one is obvious. That's you got to go to driving school. You got to learn how to drive. You know, some of you may go to, you know, here in Albuquerque, McGinnis. I think, does the public school still offer driving lessons? They used to when I was in school. Or your dad will take you out to the parking lot and teach you how to drive. You know, some kids learn how to drive on the farm, you know, by driving the tractor and stuff. But you got to learn how to drive, learn to obey the rules, learn how to be a defensive driver. Looking out for potholes and other obstacles. And finally, you got to be ready for left turns and other detours. And so let's open our Bibles to Proverbs 16 and let's learn how to drive. And our foundational verse is going to be found in verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. That is going to be kind of our launching pad. You know, life is a highway. We're all on a journey somewhere. Every human being is on that highway, and we're going someplace. But our journey as Christians begins with what? How do you get born again? How do you become into the family of God? Yeah. Faith. It begins by faith. It begins by trusting in Jesus with all your heart. It begins believing that he died for your sins. That he paid the full penalty of your sins. That not only that, now he owns your life. You've been bought by his blood. He owns you. Have you ever thought about that? I'm owned? Yeah. That's why Paul says we are a slave of Christ. It's the same thought. You know, there's slavery in the world, and there's been slavery in our past. But God says we are bought by his blood. But God is not like a slave master like the humans are. God is much more gracious than that. God lets you serve him by choice. He doesn't force you and is really mean on you. He makes you force you. So he bought you with his blood. And in our drive, we depart from evil. Look at the second part of that. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. You're on this road, and he's saying, oh, man, I'm on the road to destruction. I'm going to take that right turn towards righteousness, which begins by faith, and you get on a new road called the highway of righteousness. And notice what happens to the person who stays on that road. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. You're doing what is right before God. You can live confidently before God because you're living for him. Well, first of all, how do we stay on that road of righteousness? We know how to get on the road of righteousness begins by faith. Now, how do we stay on that road? Well, let's look at verse 1 of chapter 16. The preparations of the heart belong to man. Let's stop right there. The preparation of the heart. There's something that needs to be going on in your life to keep yourself on that road of righteousness. How do you guys prepare for a game? Coach runs plays, right? Drills. You go through plays. You know, these guys are basketball players, and I'm not super knowledgeable about basketball, but enough to show my ignorance. But you run plays, you know, the guy goes to the top of the post and he cuts his way, and you practice those things. Now, baseball is a lot easier. You practice fielding plays. You practice situations. You do batting practice. You're preparing your heart. We got football players back here. You practice drills. You blocking and running plays and situations that happens. Playing a game is more than just practicing your body, but you got to practice your head so when the situation happens, you know how to react. You know what to do in that situation because in a moment's notice, anything can change on the field. At a moment's notice, you're driving your car, and if you're not driving defensively, something can happen. So we must prepare our hearts, our thoughts. And so it's kind of like when you drive, one of the first things they teach you when you go to driving school is 10 and 2. Not driving down here. It's 10 and 2. So you have a firm grasp on your steering wheel. So if that reindeer jumps out in front of you, you can swerve. But if a cat jumps out, you accelerate. No. Sorry. You like cats, don't you? Yeah, I know. When I was in high school, I was with my friends, and he was driving his car, and he ran over a cat. It's like the worst feeling.
What if it was my puppy? Because my dog kind of looks like a cat.
Yeah.
It's pretty small.
My dog's like a baby. Yeah. By the way, look. Now we diverted, and you said your dog looks like a cat. There's a book my daughters have. I love these books, and they're so fun to read. They're Skippy John Jones books. They're children's books. It's about this Siamese cat who has these really big ears, and in his imaginary world, he thinks he's a chihuahua. Yeah, and he jumps on his bed, and he goes, oh, Skippito! It's fun to read. Well, anyway, okay, let's get back to the road of righteousness. It begins by preparation. Our preparation begins by being in the book of God, understanding his word, memorizing verses, coming to Bible study. You guys are being prepared to drive the car. There's going to be a day where God's going to give you the family keys. You're no longer going to be driven to church. You're going to have the choice to go to church whether you want to or not. You're going to have to make that decision. And there's going to become a time in your life you're going to make a decision. How, Lord, how am I going to serve you? Yes, Gilbert. Well, he's learning. You're learning. You're learning to drive. You're still young. And I got a confession. I got a speeding ticket last week. Oh, it hurt. I was going like 35 and a 15.
In a school zone?
On base.
Oh, okay.
And it was a very, very expensive ticket. The Air Force Police had a speed trap going, and I got nailed. Not good. But anyway, we need to be in the book. And also, it's also prayer. You got to be talking to God and being still before God to allow him to talk to you. It's asking God to rule, literally rule over your life. Have you ever asked God to rule over you? To be the boss? But no, I mean to be your ruler. Like he's the king and you're the servant? Yeah, I mean, really. God, rule over me. So be in the book, praying, asking God to rule over your life, and asking God, God, what do you want to do with my life? How do you want me to serve you? How do you want me to serve you? You know, what if God does want you to be a missionary? And some people, oh, no, not that. But you're a missionary already. You're a missionary at your school. You're a missionary on your neighborhood. You're a missionary in your family. You represent God to people. You know, I have a friend of mine. He's a non-believer, and he referees soccer. And he says, some of the worst kids is when I referee the Christian schools. That's not being a good representative, is it? No. And I'm not saying we're perfect. For heaven's sake, none of us are perfect. But that shouldn't be an excuse. God said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus said those words. And that's like, because none of us can be perfect. And, you know, and that's the point. That's why we need his righteousness. That's why we need his strength and his power. So it's being in the book, asking God to rule over your life, asking God what he wants to do with your life, and finally, it's asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Being filled daily. Why do we must ask God to fill us daily with the Holy Spirit? As one person said, it's like a balloon. We leak. We leak. Now, asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit is an act of faith. It doesn't mean you're going to be goofy. It doesn't mean you're going to get this big giant halo around your head. And it doesn't mean you're going to be talking funny. It's that prayer, God, rule over my life. You control my life. You go before me. You work in and through me. Also, let's look at verse 3. It begins with being filled with the Holy Spirit, being in the book, being in prayer. It's asking God things. Let's look at verse 3. Back to verse 1. Preparations of the heart belong to the man, comma, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. That's why I'm saying, for an answer to come from the Lord, that's a person being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a life that's dominated by the Spirit of God. Because when you're in his word and you're in prayer, and let's say you're sharing the word with somebody, and you know, and God gives you a word of wisdom, and you share it with somebody, and you think back about that, and you think, where in the world did that come from? It was from the Lord. He was speaking through you. You know, there's times that I've taught and somebody will say, man, I remember you said this and this. And I'm going, I said that? I didn't know I said that. Wow, that's pretty good. But it wasn't from me. It was from the Lord. I prepare my heart. I have to study the Word of God. But ultimately, The answers come from the Lord, and that's being filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Well, what does it mean to commit your works to the Lord? Commit it to who? To the Lord, right? But what does that mean? What do you mean by that? Give it up. Hey, that's good. Yeah. It's allowing, taking all your plans in life. You know, I think God wants us to plan out our lives. But we got to be flexible enough to let God change our plans or to change them a different way. It's allowing God to have the authority of all. And notice the payoff. It says your thoughts will be established. You won't be confused. How many of you like walking in confusion? Not me. I hate it. I like this, that, and you struggle in your mind. Well, if you're in that situation, you know, it could be, you know, should I do this or should I do that? Get counsel from your parents. Get counsel from somebody you trust. Get godly counsel. You know, we're all here to serve you guys in Velocity. Beginning with Kevin and Courtney and Ryan and Chris, myself, Sam, all those leaders. We're all here to serve you. And if you need to talk to somebody, you know, feel free to talk to us. You know, sometimes you might have to be bold and say, you know, I need to talk to you about something, or I need your advice. God will help you establish your thoughts. Now, what's cool about this, when we commit everything to God, it means we don't have to try to force things to happen. We don't ever have to steal, cheat, lie for our plans to succeed. See, the world works that way. I don't know, let's drop a plan. How can we get people to do something? And they'll try to manipulate us, and they'll try to make us think that we're missing something. And Pastor Skip is finishing up an awesome teaching on that this morning. If you get a chance to hear it, hear it. But the world tries to manipulate us into things. And God says, no, commit your plans to me and your thoughts will be established. So God has his hand in it. And that great Romans 8:28 verse, do you guys have that memorized, some of you? For we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God. That's you. Do you love God? Hey, all things are working good for you. Right now, at this moment, God is working all things together for good for you. Because you love God and called according to his purpose. Hey, that's you. You've been called according to his purpose. Now, you may not know exactly what that purpose is, but you know what you're doing right now? You're preparing yourself to drive the car. You're getting prepared. And eventually, as you live your life out, God's plan unfolds. His purpose unfolds in your life. And you'll discover that. So again, being filled begins being filled with the Word of God, being in prayer, being still before God, and asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit and being committed to the Lord. Now that we looked at learning how to drive, let's learn how to drive defensively, looking for potholes and other obstacles. Verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Defensive driving begins by being self-controlled. It begins by being alert. I learned that there are 6 basic principles for defensive driving. I saw it online last night. Pay attention to the road. Hello? You know, teenagers, and some of you are teenagers, and some of you will be teenagers, most accidents happen with you guys because The biggest problem with you guys is don't pay attention to the road. You're too busy cell phone, yapping, you know. And I was there too, and I'm not the, as I told you, I got a ticket, I'm not the most perfect driver, but we need to pay attention to the road. Pay attention to potholes. Pay attention to other drivers on the road. The second thing for defensive driving is don't trust anybody. You see that car in front of you and they have their blinker on? They just may have their blinker on and forgot to turn it off. Don't assume that they're turning. You better brake. They might not turn. Or you see a kid who's thinking about crossing the street. You better be ready. He may just bolt out in front of you. Be ready. And the third thing is yield anyway. You know, you're unsure, just yield. Slow down. Fourth one. This one's for me. Don't speed. Don't speed. The fifth one is do not drive impaired. What's that? Don't drive drunk. Don't drive on drugs. Don't drive on medication. Yeah. Please do not drive while taking this cough syrup. Well, I'm thinking as a pharmacist, yeah, you have to explain to your patients. You're explaining to your patients, do not drive or operate machinery while using this medication because you know, you're kind of loopy. So don't drive impaired. And sixthly, put on your seatbelt. What's that? Oh, yeah. They probably really do that. And so, as Christians, we got to be self-controlled. Got to watch out for those squirrels in the middle of the road. Because, well, you know, the one area that as believers, and that's hard for somebody to do, have self-control, is the area of anger. Any of you guys have a temper? Yes. It's hard to control, isn't it? And here God is saying, you got to learn to be slow to anger. Slow. Slow to anger. And notice what he says. And he who rules his spirit or is better than the mighty. A one who could rule his spirit is better than the mighty, the strongest dude in class. The toughest dude, someone who can control his anger is much stronger than that. That's called meekness. It's strength under control. Because in your anger, you can say pretty dumb stuff, can you? Yeah?
The person that's really, that's always getting in fights, the person just, he plays it off, and just, you know, he says a bunch of words and it bugs him. He doesn't mentally
harasses him. But be slow to anger. And you also notice he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city is more mighty than he who takes a city, more than a conqueror. Because the human heart is a hard thing to conquer. That's what God wants. God wants to rule over your heart. And it's our nature to try, no, God, I don't like that yoke. It's trying to break an unbroken horse, get that bit in his mouth and get on him, and he's bucking, and that's the way us humans are. We like our own authority, our own autonomy. But God wants to break us so that we learn to trust him, learn to do things his way. And so let's be self-controlled. And that's hard. It's difficult. But it's not impossible. But see, the thing, how we learn to control our passions is dependent on what we are delighting ourselves in. If we are delighting ourselves in the things of God, he's going to change our passions. And they're going to be good and holy passions instead of self-centered passions. So, being self-controlled. Look out for those obstacles, those potholes. And finally, let's look at left turns and other obstacles. Verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Verse 25. There is a way that seems right to man, but his end is in the way of death. There's an old saying that goes like this, and it's one of my favorite maxims, favorite sayings. It says, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. You got to learn to be flexible in life. Learn to go with the flow sometimes. Sometimes we are so dead straight on something, and if somebody upsets that, those plans, that apple cart, we get mad. But maybe that's God's way of teaching you patience. Maybe it's God's way of showing you a more scenic route. Maybe it's a way God wants to bless you in a different way you never thought of. We don't know. You know, when we make our drive, it's good that we make plans. But we also got to be open to the Lord redirecting our plans, taking that detour, making a left turn. Be open to that. It's kind of like Bugs Bunny. You remember Bugs Bunny, one of his sayings? I made a left turn in Albuquerque. Oh, a wrong turn. Got it. A wrong turn in Albuquerque. And, you know, we got to be ready for God to make those adjustments in our lives. So, detours occur when we're driving along and suddenly the road makes a turn. Let's be ready for those things. Look for it as an opportunity for God. Those disappointments that happen in your life, look for it as an opportunity. Oh, something happened. I was hoping. Okay, Lord, what do you want with this? How can you teach me? How can you teach me to endure this disappointment or this hurt or this pain, this suffering, or something really cool happens? Wow, Father, thank you for this. Now, how can I learn from this from you? You know, be open to those things. Let's look at verse 33 again. Again, this is faith. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Faith. Learn to enjoy faith. Do you like adventure? We all like adventure if we have control over it. But adventure is letting God take you where he wants. I learned this lesson pretty good. I was in the school of ministry and we had a retreat and we went whitewater rafting. Well, I fell out of the raft. And it's freaky. It was cold, just a second. And the water was rushing. And you know, and you see those little water holes, and you know, I went right in. There's nothing I can do but just hold on and see where the river takes me. And sometimes that's the way it is with our lives with God. We're in that rapid, and God is taking you on a journey. Learn to enjoy the ride. Learn to appreciate the ride. Learn to learn from it. To live with expectation. Yes, sir. Okay. Have a good day. Blessings. So learn to enjoy the ride, so the adventure. But also, it's like off-roading. Do you guys like going off-roading? Ever been four-wheel driving? When I was a teenager, way back when, on South Eubank, we used to go back there, and we used to go off-roading. It wasn't even a four-wheel drive. It was an old International truck, and my friend would drive. And I remember we were driving on the edge of a cliff, you know. But it was a lot of fun. And, you know, we couldn't go too far because we'd go into the Air Force area where they have, like, electric fences and stuff. And, you know, Manzano Mountains used to be a nuclear storage area. It's not that anymore. But we used to do that, you know, going off-roading. That's what God wants to do sometimes. Take us off-roading, going across the land. But notice who's in control. The lot is cast into the lap, comma, read it. Who's in control? The Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who spoke everything into existence, is in control. Do you think he's capable? Yeah. Man, you created the heavens and the earth. You made me in your mother's womb. You're so powerful and you're in control. Is that a good thing? Yeah. Now let's look at verse 25. We're going to look at a road to oblivion. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It gives us a sad picture. It's a road that drops off a cliff, a road to oblivion. Notice it says, there is a way that seems right. Oh, it feels good. It seems right. You know, that's a person who is driven by his flesh, driven by his six senses instead of having godly sense. It's a person, you know, I'm hungry, eat, thirsty, drink. You know, self-control. And it seems right to him. Everybody else is doing it. Have you ever said that? My friends are doing it. And of course, every good parenting manual says if your friends jump off a bridge, will you jump off with them? And, you know, some of you are smarty aleck will say, yeah. But is that the smart thing? No. And so there's a road to oblivion. But God desires we do not drive on this road. But it's a devil's highway. The road seems nice, it's sensual, it's deceiving, it's leading to death. But remember, any road that leads you away from God is not good. Stay on that highway of righteousness. So let's conclude. Well, we learn to drive by being filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Be prepared. Being in preparation, knowing, memorizing scriptures, coming to Bible study as you are now. This will teach us to avoid the obstacles in life, the detours. Be ready for those things. And remember, God is good. Then, you know, the Bible says his goodness and his mercy follows us. Have you ever felt paranoid? If you ever have, just remember it's his goodness and mercy. God wants to bless you. He wants you to have a most fulfilled life. And it begins by acknowledging him by faith and trusting him, learning from him, committing all things to him. So our application this morning is first, commit yourself to the Lord. Read his words by praying and by asking. Second thing, see obstacles as opportunities. See obstacles as opportunities. And finally, be flexible. Be flexible to what God has for you. Let's pray. Father, I'm glad that you're trying to teach us how to drive. But mostly, I'm so happy, Father, that you don't want to be our co-pilot, nor do you want our dog to be our co-pilot. You are the pilot of our car, of our lives. Teach us, Father, to let go and let you drive. And Lord, as we make our plans, help us to, or remind us to, commit all these plans to you, to allow you to take control of them. And Lord, teach us to be flexible when you change things, when things seem not good, but to see the good in it, to allow you to work the good in it. And Father, I pray that we as your children here, that we would grow in maturity and that we would grow in our faith and that we would be pleasing to you, that you would use us to bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, have a great week. God bless you all.